This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner will be back next week. Our special guest for this week, and he's a good one. I've had a chance to talk to him a number of times, though we played some serious phone tag for about a month. He is Sean Purdy. He's a former pro baseball player, played in the Angels organization, played college baseball at Miami. Hey, Sean, how you doing today?
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks a lot, and your willingness to come on Faith in the Zone. I want to thank Tom Roy for the introduction, and well, I'll tell you what, Sean, doing a lot of background and stuff on you and looking at some videos, big fan. So I really appreciate you spending the hour with us. Hey, let's start with where did you grow up? What part of the country?
Well, I grew up in Central Florida, a town called St. Cloud. It's in the Kissimmee, Orlando, Disney area. And I lived there till I went off to college.
And growing up, is that a hotbed for baseball in that area?
Absolutely. I mean, we were a small little redneck town, is what they would call it. And, you know, the Orlando area and so on, you know, they had more seasoned ball players than us, but we were just blue collar, worked hard. And, you know, baseball was and football was, life for us.
So I've got two brothers who live down there. One's been in Tarpon Springs for a really long time. And, you know, his kids went to Tarpon High School. They're the home of the Spongers. And he said, look, football and baseball here are big. Basketball, not so much. And I took my daughter, when she was a senior in high school, to Pensacola because she wanted to visit Pensacola Christian College. And that Friday night, I went over, and she had events on the campus. I rented a car and went to watch a high school football game. And there was a team from Alabama playing a team from Pensacola. And I was sitting next to some guys in this beautiful stadium. And I said, man, this is really good high school football. And they said, no, both teams are like 3-5, to be honest with you. I said, I live up in Wisconsin, a lot of speed out on the field. And they said, look, this is a baseball community. When you leave, where's your car? And I told them, they said, walk the other way and look at that baseball stadium. And man, I did. And whatever high school that was in Pensacola, Florida, one of the nicer high school baseball stadiums I've ever seen. And they said, yeah, this is a baseball area right here. So it's interesting. St. Cloud, was it a big high school you went to?
So no, it was a small school. We used to bounce from 2A to 3A. At the time, 4A was, you know, considered big. But we used to have a lot of high schools come down and use our field for springtime because it was cold, up north. And they would always ask us what college, you know, plays here or whatever, because our coach on Saturdays, morning time was work on the field, and then you brought your lunch, and then after that, we had practice.
Ugh.
And so our stuff was edged, trimmed, dugouts painted. I was in charge of the pitcher's mound, and so it was a very pristine field, and it was all Bermuda and definitely heavily ryegrass for starting in the winter going into the season. So we had a lot of pride in our field. So yeah, there was a lot of nice baseball fields as far as high school went in Florida.
Man, we are talking to Sean Purdy again, former pro baseball player. You can follow him on Twitter at SeanPurdy16. That's at SeanPurdy16. Hey, did growing up then, the guys you played with in high school, are those the same kids you played in Little League and Pony League and stuff like that with?
Absolutely. We were all together. In fact, my neighborhood was always a majority of like our all-star team for Little League. And then we went to high school and we lost like a really heartbreaker to go to it was the Senior League World Series.
Oh.
And in the All-Stars. And we were like, hey, when we get to high school, we're going to win a state championship and so on. And so when we all moved to high school, that was just a goal. And we went 2 years in a row. Lucky us, we run into Tom Gordon. At that age, back then, throwing 95, 96 was pretty hard. Now everybody throws 100. And then his curveball that broke a country mile, we didn't have a chance. But, yeah, we were together from Little League all the way through to high school.
Man, that's awesome. That really is. And I like those stories because, you live in Milwaukee, kids will play Little League or even Muni or AAU basketball. And, once they get through eighth grade, then they scatter and kids go to this school or that school unless they're playing, in the juniors program for the high school. And a lot of guys obviously do that here. Were you a multi-sport athlete, Sean?
Well, growing up, yes, I did basketball, baseball, football. Then I got into high school, and it was baseball and football. I played football my freshman year and my senior year. I was big-time asthmatic, and as I am still. And then my sophomore year, we started getting things under control with inhalers and so on. And I just loved football. And I had a football player's mentality, but not the frame. But I was better at baseball.
And were you a pitcher all the way through? Is that what you played?
Yes, sir. Pitcher and shortstop.
Can you still throw it a little bit?
Well, it's funny. Yes, with the kids, I'm always, hey, go ahead and get down, and dad can roll out of bed and still paint and all that kind
sure.
of stuff. So. velocity, I'm sure there's going to be an issue there, as opposed to when I was playing.
So, hey, let's talk a little bit about doing some research. I saw that you had been drafted three times, and the first two times you did not leave college, or I don't know if one was in high school or not, after high school. But you decided to go to Miami. When you look back at those times, going to college and staying at college, was that a good choice for you?
Oh, man. It gave me the opportunity, especially going to junior college, for growth. Growth in the classroom, outside the classroom, on the ball field. I was not ready for big-time football or baseball. And going to junior college allowed me to become a better student. I had a coach that really shaped me and my attitude and so on. And then that prepared me to be at the University of Miami. And my goal was always, as a baseball player, I wanted to go to the Little League World Series. I wanted to win a state championship at high school. I wanted to go to the College World Series. And so I stayed the duration through Miami because I'm like, I couldn't live with myself if I left. And then that team went and won a College World Series. So, yes, that was definitely what I wanted to do.
Were you able to go to the World Series with Miami?
No. I'm the only guy at University of Miami who didn't go for 2 years. And my junior year, we got beat by the Citadel, man.
Oh, so. You're kidding. We should probably cut that part out of this show. We don't want to know that. That's for sure. We're talking to Sean Purdy again. He is a former pro baseball player. Did you spend your entire time with the Angels organization?
No, I was with the Angels. Then I got Rule 5'd over to the Giants organization. And then my last year, I was in the Atlanta Braves organization.
And after 8 years in minor leagues, you decided to retire. Was there an injury? Was it time for you?
Yeah, it was a culmination of things. One, yes, it was an injury. It is something that I was able to repair in the off season, and I had my surgery mid season, elbow, bone, spurs, and so on. And then I had started a business, and I had my first child going into that last season. And I was like, you know what? The future is in my business, and the future is in being a dad. And what really, really helped me move forward is I was good friends with Eduardo Perez. And his dad came out to see us, and I was just, hey, man, for who your dad is, he's just so humble and approachable and so on. And then he explained to me about, how, a big league dad is gone for a long time and this and that. And I was like, oof, man, that must be tough. And so when I had my daughter, I was like, hey, you know what? I've done me. Now it's time to be a dad, and that's what helped me make my transition into the civilian world. That's what you want to call it.
Well, and later in the show, we're going to talk about Whitney, and we're going to talk about Brock, and we're going to talk about Chuba. And you listeners might not know Whitney, but a big-time softball player at Southeastern University of Florida. You might know his son, Brock, who is the starting quarterback at Iowa State, and he was the Big 12 True Freshman of the Year last year. And I watched him almost beat Oklahoma the other day, and he's awfully good. What a fun football player to watch. And you don't know Chuba, but you might one day. He is signed to play quarterback at Louisville. He's a senior in high school. Are they still playing, by the way? Did they make it?
Yes.
Did they win on Friday?
Yes, sir. They won their first round. So good. Now he's his second round of playoffs is this Friday.
So here in Wisconsin, Sean, we're at level 4 already. So basically, you win this Friday, you're going to Camp Randall to play in the finals, because there's the rule is here in Wisconsin, you have to get the high school football playoffs done before deer hunting starts.
Oh,
no, that's true. Yeah. Not kidding.
I bet. Or before the snow starts.
Okay. Well, we've gotten that already. That's I was snow blowing yesterday, but before deer hunting, because their fear is some of these boys from up north Wisconsin, if they have a choice between going and playing a state finals of football or going deer hunting, they're gonna go deer hunting.
Yeah,
and so, we're already level 4. Well, that's congratulations to Chuba. Who do they play this week? They got a stiff competition coming for level 2?
Yeah, they got a great high school called Desert Vista. They got a really good coach over there, and he always has a good team. And we've played them over the last 2 years. This will be our third time. So, definitely have a good challenge ahead of them on Friday.
That's awesome. Hey, let's get you a break. Other side of the break, we're going to talk to Sean about his testimony and trying to walk worthy in minor league baseball. We've had a number of baseball guys on, and we've had discussions about that's a difficult place to do that. And we'll have that conversation with Sean on the other side of the break. Again, he's Sean Purdy. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Purdy, the number 16. Sean Purdy 16. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, flying solo this week. Again, Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church will be back in studio with me next week. Special guest this week on Faith in the Zone is Sean Purdy. He's a former pro baseball player, played in the Angels organization, the Giants, and the Braves, and played college baseball at Miami. Hey, Sean, when we talked in the first segment, you know, you had talked about growing up in St. Cloud and the neighborhood and all of that with all these kids. I want to kind of talk about your testimony and where your walk began and at what age, and wondering if your mom and dad were believers, and is that where it started?
Yeah, my mom grew up Baptist, and you know, when my grandfather passed away, I think I was 7 or 8, you know, it was pretty devastating for all of us. And then we started going to church, and I had some neighbors that were wonderful, and they never gave up on us and prayed for us. And when I'd be next door playing, you know, with my buddies there, they'd share with me and so on. And so, you know, that's where it all started. As a kid, you know, I don't want to go to Sunday school, blah, blah, blah. But I was in the church hearing the word. And, you know, I just, you know, I was always around it, you know. So, I'm so thankful for it. You know, my mom never gave up and just kept us in the word.
And so when through high school and I'm wondering if when you got to Miami, you know, that's quite a step for young student athletes. You know, you go from St. Cloud, and you had talked about we're kind of a redneck group there to Miami. Was it difficult for you to continue to walk worthy at that point?
So I was strong in my convictions. Was I on fire? No. Did it keep me out of trouble? Absolutely. So, you know, you're wandering aimlessly, if you would say, but, you know, God constantly tapping on your shoulder going, hey man, you know, get right, you know, let's do this. And, so I never went out of the world and just lived how I wanted to live.
Right.
And, you know, I was straddling both. And so, you know, and not until I got into professional balls when I really started walking it.
Hey, when you've been married for quite a while, I think. I as I told you before we started, you have joined my club because you totally outkicked your coverage. Carrie is you have a beautiful family. Let's say that. And I'm wondering, was she strong in her faith when you guys met?
Absolutely, she's a solid Christian family, and you know, that was just God's way of, you know, I knew what I was looking for, and you know. You know, my daughter's saying the same thing now, you know, when am I ever going to meet anybody? Because she's a senior in college. And I went all the way through college without a real serious girlfriend. And you know, and I met her my second year of playing ball. And, you know, she was everything I was looking for, a woman of faith. And she was just so full of life.
Hey, during the years that you played in the minor leagues, and again, I kind of talked about this at the end of the last break, but having a number of baseball players, because of Tom Roy and his connection to Faith in the Zone through UPI, we've had a number of baseball guys on, and they've talked about the difficulties of trying to continue to walk worthy when you're on the road and you're in, you know, playing minor league baseball. Said there's a lot of temptations around every single corner. Did you find that to be difficult as well?
Never. And this is real. For me, being in baseball in 1995 is when I rededicated my life. I was in the Giants organization. And it was about July. And I had like a week or so.
of rough ball and never had been going through that consistent struggle. And I hit my knees, said, Lord, you know, I'd always pray about things, but I would never talk about baseball just in case that wasn't in the plan.
Right.
And my prayer was, Lord, I give you my life. I give you my wife. We had just gotten married. And baseball, I surrender, and I'll be whatever it is you want me to be tomorrow if this isn't in the plans. And from there forward, I was just, I didn't have flashing lights or anything like that. I was in it. I was in it for real. And then you start meeting Christian brothers on the team. And so I've always told everybody that I was, at the time, walking so strong as a ball player. And when you get out of baseball, because it's in baseball, chapel's at the field, you have Bible studies on the road, and so on. So it seemed easier. Then when ball was over, now you got to be disciplined enough to go look for it.
Sure.
And then you don't have your ball player buddies that you're going to see today. You know, you got to go get involved at your church or wherever. So for me, and then on the road, I was blessed enough to have a Christian brother on the road, and we would take a towel, put it over that TV, and put the Bible on it. Because a big deal would be, pornography.
Sure.
You know, in these hotel rooms. And so we would, ask for protection over that. And so, baseball for me was I was able to have a strong walk.
We're talking to Sean Purdy, against former pro baseball player. He's with the Angels, the Giants, and the Atlanta Braves. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y, the number 16. And I would recommend that. He's got some great stuff on there, and we're going to talk about a lot of the stuff in the third segment when it comes to his family, because it's a really very unique family. It really is. When you have three kids and they're all big-time athletes, I think that's very unusual, and we'll talk to him about that journey as well. Hey, when in minor league baseball, when you made that decision to say, okay, it's time for me to step back, obviously Kerry was all in, right? Did you guys have that discussion together to say, hey, look, I think it's time?
It's just she saw the change in me. And, we've been so blessed. When we got married, it wasn't nervous. It was excitement. And, everything that her and I have been involved in, hey, let's do this. And, I got my role. She's got her role. And, it was just natural, I guess.
Man, that's awesome. Hey, Sean, when we were talking on the phone a week ago or so, I'd asked you what UPI kind of meant to you and being part of what Tom Roy's thing. And you gave me a great story about, going to a men's group at church and saying, look, how would my father fit in here?
Yeah.
Would he foot in? And it wasn't, you didn't think that he would. And then you went to a UPI event and that kind of turned everything for you.
Yeah. The one that I went to, I was like, okay, like I was saying, this is right after ball. I'm retired and done. And so I'm like, all right, I got to get involved. And so I went to a men's retreat and I'm like, all right, man, we're just going to air it out and share and all this. And that wasn't happening. And then guys were hanging out with guys they knew and so on. I was like, man, if my dad was here, these guys wouldn't have a shot at him. He'd be like, I'm out of here. And so I go to UPI and, I sit down with these guys and everybody's real and everybody's just opening up and breaking down the wall. In fact, the guy that was there was the one that wrote the book To the Shack. And so it was all about, dropping your barrier and so on. And I'm like, okay, this is what I'm talking about. This is how you grow as a Christian when other guys are sharing in the same weaknesses or questions or whatever. And I was just like, this is all me. And Tom Roy just had just the perfect setting. And I would hope that anywhere, it didn't have to be baseball, would be like that.
Yeah, I agree. When we had that conversation, and again, I got goosebumps because I agree with you. You know, there are different places for guys that they feel the most comfortable. And yeah. if I was in the same situation as you, I would feel more comfortable around the UPI guys that are just kind of, you know what, it's okay that we're men. And we like to do men stuff, you know. You want to go hunting and fishing, and in between that, let's talk a little bit about where you're at, you know, in your faith. And he is one of my just dearest friends, and I'm a big fan of his. And that's the reason. Like you never feel like any of the guys we've had on that have been involved with UPI, you never feel like they're way up on the mountaintop talking down to you.
They meet
you right where you're at. And then have that conversation, and I'm definitely a big fan. Well, did you then after that become more involved with UPI? Did you take any trips with them?
No. So for me, you know, with my kids, you know, just so involved with coaching and so involved with, you know, with my business. I'm a small business, so it's not like I turn it over to this guy. And usually they'd call on me to do a trip, you know, December, January. And it was tough, especially with my daughter, our travel softball team, man. That's just insanity.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a big commitment.
Yeah, so because softball is year-round, where, you know, baseball, football, for me is seasonal because I never did year-round baseball with my boys. I'm totally against it. But with softball, you know, it's pretty much year-round. And it was just tough timing, you know. And it always had bothered me, you know, that I should just drop what I'm doing and go do this. And, you know, and Tom had always reached out. And I was sorry that I didn't get involved with that. But, you know, I did do a number of the men's retreat in the beginning of January.
Yeah, that's perfect.
And, oh, man, just hanging out with Ted Barrett and, you know, Major League umpire and all the guys. Another dear friend of mine, Dan Carlson, he's in the Diamondback organization as a roving pitching instructor. And man, those are some good times.
I'll tell you this: I would never, ever challenge Ted Barrett. I wouldn't say, hey, you want to get in the ring and go three rounds with me? I wouldn't do any of that. You know, he's been on Faith in the Zone, and he. He had quite the boxing career growing up, and watching him on TV, there aren't many people that challenge his calls, I'll tell you that.
But it's so crazy. He is like the nicest guy ever. And, you know, we see each other quite a bit at the gym. And Ted was at I was able to baptize my three kids, and Ted was there for it. You know, luckily it was in the off season, and man, we are just big fans of Ted Barrett, man.
Yeah, we are too. Hey, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation with Sean Purdy. And if that name, last name sounds familiar and you're a college football fan, trust me, Brock Purdy is a quarterback at Iowa State. He's at Iowa State, really good college football player for sure, and his younger son, Chuba, is a four-year starter. He's a four-star, recruit, and made the decision to go to Louisville to play college football. We're going to have a conversation about raising these really good student-athletes on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brain Balance of Mequon. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern again flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church will be back next week. Our special guest, Sean Purdy, again, former pro baseball player. from 1991 to 1998. His wife, Carrie, they have three wonderful kids that I've looked on a couple of times on the internet. And Whitney playing softball at Southeastern University. She's a big-time softball player. What position does she play, Sean?
She's shortstop and some left fields. But mainly, her first 3 years of college have been all short. All short, third, second. So, infield.
She can pick it and throw it a little bit?
Let me tell you, and seriously, because she grew up throwing with her brothers.
Yep.
You've never seen a girl throw like Whitney and with such a natural arm angle and footwork and so on. It's really cool to watch.
You know, I do a segment for a TV show called Around the Corner with John McGivern. We go to different communities and towns and cities in the state of Wisconsin. My brother spends a week there with a camera crew, and they highlight, promote, and celebrate what's going on in those communities. My job is to pop in and out and do a one-minute sports segment. And we're in a small town here called Fort Atkinson, and their girls' softball program was unbelievable. And so I did my segment, and the girls were all real kind and nice. And I said, by the way, who's the big-time pitcher here? The girl said, that's me. And I said, why don't you warm up because I'm going to take you deep. And she goes, excuse me? I said, come on, let's go. This catcher was this cute little blonde who was very nice to me. She gets her gear on. She says, outfield, come on in, no hitter. This guy can't hit.
No way.
Sean, I never saw the first pitch. I literally didn't see it. And I looked at back of the catcher. I said, that was outside. She goes, are you kidding me? That was straight down the pipe. And I said, outside. I said, come on. Well, I hit one to the second baseman, and the pitcher got mad. I said, what are you mad at? She goes, I don't want you touching my stuff. I said, here, let me go lefty. She goes, can you hit lefty? I said, I can hit you lefty. Now, I'm talking all this smack. And I did like an Ozzie Smith, went to bunt it down the third baseline, and the third baseman cracked up. I said, what are you laughing at? She goes, I would throw you out by a mile. And I'm telling you, Sean, I've watched women's softball. I've not been in the batter's box. I didn't see the first pitch. Wow, their eye-hand coordination to be able to hit some of these pitches is unbelievable to me.
Unbelievable. And I've had, you know, Brock was always like, I'll get in there. I'm like, dude, just shut up. Don't do it. Don't embarrass yourself. You know, it's just coming from a whole different area. First time I warmed up one of our girls, our backup catcher ended up getting in the game, and so I had to go and warm our girl up. And when she threw, it was just like I had to pay attention.
Yes.
Because it was like it was coming up out of the ground versus, you know, your guy coming over the top. And, man, it's crazy.
And they can make the pitch rise. They can there's a lot of things they do with that. Was Whitney a multi-sport athlete?
No. She dabbled in volleyball, but softball became her passion. And she danced up until she was 12, and she came in late from her dance class, and Brock had some crazy little league game, and he ends up getting the winning hit or something, and she comes storming out on the field, and she was like, oh my God, that was so awesome. I go, that's pretty exciting stuff, huh? She goes, yeah. I said, how would you like to do that? She goes, oh, what do you mean, play softball? I go, yeah. She goes, oh, I'd love it. So we went up in the stands. We go, hey, Mom, we're done with dance. It's all awesome. Softball from here.
How'd Carrie take that? How'd Carrie take that?
I think she was okay with it. You know, it was the dance scene is pretty exhausting. You know, all the costumes and traveling, and then getting your kid to want to go to practice and so on. But you know, Whitney was always, you know, playing with her brothers, and then all the boys' football games, she'd be out there at halftime throwing the football, and you'd hear people in the stands go, oh my God, watch this girl throw a football.
That's awesome.
With a tight spiral and far, and so she made the transition into softball very easily.
I can't imagine being that coach, the first practice she showed up. I'd be like, man, this is manna from heaven. Are you kidding me? How did she pick Southeastern University?
So she started off at a junior college in Spartanburg, South Carolina, called Spartanburg Methodist. And she actually was here for a semester at a junior college called Central Arizona. And it just wasn't feeling right. And a buddy of mine got a head coaching job over there. And he's like, hey, you know, I'd love to have Whitney. And it's really cool because it's a JUCO with dorms and so on. And like myself, you know, Whitney wasn't ready to jump right in.
Sure.
In many ways, grades and being, you know, thrown into, you know, let's say you were for the Florida Gators, that would have just ate her up. So we knew the JUCO route was a route for her. And what was cool is she was still getting the college experience of the dorm on campus. And this school was like 860 kids. And like 800 of them were athletes.
Wow.
You know, so they had all the sports but football. And it was the biggest growth for her that we could ever pray for. And so then she gets this coach from Southeastern looking at her. And we went down and visited. And, of course, I got family down there. So that's a nice thing as well.
You bet.
And my daughter's always been infatuated with the Southeast. And, Dad, why'd you ever leave here? And she just likes that way of life, you know, South Carolina all the way down to Florida.
Sure.
And we went down and visited. It's, I don't know, 5,000 to 6,500 students. It's NAIA school. And she loved the coach. She goes, you know, she reminds me a lot of you, Dad. You know, she's tough and held you accountable, but at the same time, you know, really supports the girls. And she goes, let's do it. And I said, okay. And the ironic thing is the coach left and came out here.
Oh, man.
To ACU. It was like, you know, does Whitney want to come? I go, no, Whitney wants to still stay away. And so she's been there. This is her senior year. And this is her last year of softball.
Hey, let's talk about these boys with the time that we have left in this segment. You know, Brock, again, starting quarterback at Iowa State, and Chuba going to go to still playing high school football, going to go to Louisville and play there. The recruiting process for your two boys that are football guys, did you enjoy the process? Did they enjoy the process, or does that get old quick?
Well, first of all, it's an honor, okay, that anybody wants to speak to you and wants you to come play for their team. So it is what it is. So when I hear people say, oh, you know, this is getting old or so on, because there's people that get no attention at all. So it's an honor that people want to offer you a scholarship. It was two different ones. You know, Brock wasn't getting much attention, you know, talking about his size and so on. And then Chuba, probably at Brock's situation, helped him. And, you know, Chuba had a pretty big year himself, but Chuba's bigger. And so, and he looks bigger to the eye. You know, you look at him out on the field and, you know, he just looks big. And so Brock's junior year, he had mono. So he missed his first three games, lost a ton of weight. And so that made him look even smaller. But he still did amazing things his junior year. So everybody locally and us as a family were stressing, you know. And then he went and put together another great year, just an amazing year, senior year. And gets all these accolades and so on, and still nothing. So it was two different recruitments, and Brock's ended up being an amazing story. You know, people, you know, Brock would come home, and we're like, is anybody caught, you know, and he'd go, no. You know, just calm as can be, and Mom and I are freaking out, and you know, or, you know, how do you feel about that? And he's like, well, God knows where he wants me, and he never wavered from that. If you put a microphone in his face with a TV interview or whoever, he would tell you the same thing. And then the way it unfolded for him was just an amazing story. So,
man,
he taught us back the things that he had been taught his whole life. And then Chuba's, you know, he had a whole bunch of offers before his senior year, and it you know, it all led to Louisville. And so, no, it's an honor for us. It's not, I can't wait for this to be over or anything like that, because it's an honor.
It is. And when you talk about the numbers his senior year, you know, I have those. He threw for 4,400 yards, 57 touchdowns, ran for over 1,000 yards and 10 more touchdowns. And he earned the Gatorade Arizona Player of the Year honor. And if people don't understand Gatorade, it's just not what he does on the field. They take it all in. They look at his, they ask for transcripts, they look at grade points, they call the schools. They want to know from the administration, is this the kind of kid that we should be in the running for our Gatorade Player of the Year? Because it's not just about those numbers that we just talked about. It's about the whole package, and obviously this young man has that. Hey, let's get to a break. On the other side of the break, I'm going to ask you a couple things. I want to know what you're like when you're watching your boys play, because I know what I was like, and I'm going to ask you the favorite Pastor Ken's question at the end of these is your favorite memory of playing baseball, either at Miami or in the pros. If you can think of one that was just a really highlight memory for you, that would be outstanding. We were talking to Sean Purdy, against former pro baseball player in the Angels, in the Giants, and the Braves organization. You can follow him on Twitter, at Sean Purdy, P-U-R-D-Y, the number 16, and do yourself a favor. You get a chance to watch Iowa State, because they're on every week up here. You want to watch Iowa State play, check out his son. Boy, he's a heck of a college football player. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. It's Mike McGivern flying solo this week. Our special guest has been a great show. Sean Purdy, you can follow him at Sean Purdy 16, and again, former pro baseball player. We've been talking about his sons, his daughter. I'm wondering, during their games, whether high school or college, how are you as a fan? Are you calm, cool, collected, or are you up walking around? What do you do when they play?
Football, I'm ill. Because I know how hard the boys work, and so I just want good for them. And it really matters to them. They're not here just for a show and so on. They just love it. And, you know, so as an athlete, you've been through your ups and downs and failures, and so you know what they feel like. And so as a dad, you want to, if you can, help them avoid it. But, you know, you just can't play for them. And, you know, being a God-fearing person, you know, you just turn it over to God and know that, you know, it's in his hands. And so I've been trying to learn to find joy in the moment instead of worry. And for my daughter, or when the boys played baseball, it's tough because you're so close to the field.
Right.
The beauty of football is you're far away. They're not going to hear any advice you got.
Right.
So you don't say anything. And yeah, I'm pretty quiet when I watch. And I try to quote scripture while I'm watching. And, you know, 1 Peter, cast all your anxieties on me. I mean, I'm doing it all. I just love the kids so much, and I appreciate how hard they work, and you just want it to go well for them.
So, Sean, my wife and I never sat next to each other during when Matthew played Division III college basketball at Maranatha Baptist Bible College here in Wisconsin. And he walked on campus, they gave him the ball and said, "You're a point guard." And it's a 45-minute drive for us. And about 30 minutes in, I felt like I was going to have to pull over and throw up. And
absolutely.
I coached the kid. And I never had that feeling when I coached him, but when I had no control over it,
yeah. Yeah.
Oh, boy. And I knew because he walked on campus, he was 6 feet, 135 pounds.
Yeah.
And this coach had told all his players, hey, I got the point guard. I've got our point guard for the future. I've got the kid I'm going to give the ball to, and he's going to run our team for 4 years. And he walked on campus, and these guys were like, you're him? You're the guy? And so he doesn't look like that big-time basketball player. And once they got a chance to play with him, they said, okay, we get it now. But until then, so he always played with a little chip on his shoulder. And, man, it was – but I had a hard time. We didn't sit next to each other because my wife said I didn't cheer correctly.
All right.
Not quite sure what that
knows.
Means.
I'll go a couple rows back from my wife and her friends. And I just got a couple buddies that will be either next to me or near me. And they just know that I'm not going to say much. I'm quiet.
Yep.
When I'm watching their game.
I don't. Pastor Ken used to come to games, and I would. He wants to talk through the game, and so I would get up about 2 minutes in and walk away, and he'd start laughing. I go, don't talk to me. I don't want to talk. I don't mean to be rude, but I just want to watch the game. I want to appreciate. I want to be able to tell Matthew, you know, maybe try this or do that. Hey, last question for you before we get out. After, you know, playing at Miami, which is big-time baseball, obviously, and then playing for a number of years in minor leagues with the Angels and the Giants and the Braves, if to think back at one of the best moments for you, can when I say your favorite memory of playing baseball, what would it be?
I would say University of Miami, my first game against the Texas Longhorns at home. As a kid, probably eighth grade, we didn't have cable, and I'm at the beach, and I go into our motel, grab some chips. We had ESPN, and I'm watching the Longhorns and the Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, man.
And I slide down in front of the chair, the bed, or whatever, and I watch it. And when it was over, I'm like, oh, my God, that's what I want to do. And I had never seen a college baseball game. And so... you know, I had my path of how I got to the University of Miami. And when I was on the mound and I'm ready to throw my first pitch, I'm like, oh, my gosh, there's Cliff Gustafson in third base. And, you know, and here I am in a Miami uniform. I'm like, we did it.
We made it.
And it didn't hit me until then that the path. I had gone to Valencia Community College and I went to Indian River. And then I went to go get on a bus after I pitched against a JUCO team. And my coach says, hey, Sean, Miami wants to talk to you. They want to talk to me. And Miami was like, yeah, we're here to watch this other guy. And we saw you. And we want to offer you his scholarship. And so just the way the path of how I got there was crazy. And when I was on that mound, I got goosebumps. I'm like, here we are. So that was the most defining moment for me that everything like just slowed down and stopped. And I'm like, you know, this is what you dreamed and you did it.
Man, that's awesome. Sean, thank you so much for your time. Again, you can follow him on Twitter, Sean Purdy, the number 16. I really appreciate your time, your willingness to get up on the mountaintop with us a little bit. Certainly tell Kerry that I said that you totally outkicked your coverage. Good luck with the kids and certainly Iowa State in football, Southeastern in women's softball, and to this high school team that Chubba's quarterback. Good luck. Have fun this year.
Thank you. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure, and it's always fun to talk about sports and faith. It's a great combination.
I agree. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcast, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.